You wake up thinking about your son. You go to bed thinking about your son. It's the same thing day and night. I just want to bless him and hug him in real life. She looks at a photo of a grinning young man in military uniform.
This is the story of the Russian women fighting their own war for information about their missing loved ones.
We're streaming from the military prosecutor's office.
They're up against a bureaucracy that doesn't help and a military that barely responds.
We came to submit our documents and complaints, so our children are found. We don't need anything else. It's just a mockery of mothers. No to war!
As the Kremlin increasingly clamps down on any dissent against Russia's invasion of Ukraine, a team of Russian filmmakers has spent a year at great risk working around official controls.
Should I hide the camera away? Yes, make it less visible so they don't see the camera.
Told through intimate access to the families enduring some of their hardest moments.
We're now going to the military mortuary. I don't want to find my son there, honestly.
This film has rare access to a side of Russia the authorities don't want anyone to see.
They lied, and the boys died, and that's a sin, it's a real sin. They don't understand they're already standing up to their necks in blood, and they'll have to answer for this. Hunting Russia's lost boys. Dispatches. Low cloud over the slate-grey water of a lake. Karelia, northwest Russia. A bus on a rain-soaked city street, a poster displaying a letter Z, and in a living room, a picture of a young man in uniform alongside a religious icon. A woman and girl are looking at a photo album. You said I'd be flipping the pages. This is Kirill, right? Yes, that's Kirill as a child. He looks happy. My name is Chistikova Irina. I'm the unfortunate mother who has been looking for her son for 12 months. This is a huge grief for me, which I have to deal with alone.
Kirill, 21, is a conscript. 4 months before Russia's invasion of Ukraine, he'd been ordered to attend compulsory military service.
On February the 22nd, he called me and said they were going to the Ukrainian border. I'll call you in about 2 weeks.
As a trainee, Kirill should not have been sent into combat. But 2 days after arriving at the border, he was ordered into Ukraine with Russia's invading forces. He's been missing ever since.
They deceived 19-year-old boys who were in the army for 2.5 months. They deceived him. The girl tells a cat to sit as she plays a keyboard. We need to wash the dishes. Let's go. Emilia, she's so wise, honestly. She said, Mum, I understand how hard it is for you and that you need to find Kirill. I'm never going to cry. I'll never ask for anything. Kirill was everything to her. She went out with him to the movies, to McDonald's, when it still existed. Go, girl, you've got to see. Irina lights a candle. All my struggles to find my son, to get him back, they take place in communication with men. They are colonels, majors, generals. Who is to blame for this? Where is my son?
In searching for Kirill, Irina has found other women also looking for their missing sons.
There are thousands of such mothers. There are a lot of mothers' sons who've been mobilized and contract servicemen. It's so devastating talking to them. You only get tears from them. Each one is searching, each one is waiting and wants to find their son. We're streaming live from outside the chief military prosecutor's office.
Irina joins some of these mothers as they protest to get answers from the army.
We came to submit our documents and complaints so our children are found. We don't need anything else. We don't want conflict with anyone.
But this is dangerous. Any challenge to Russia's government can lead to arrest and even jail.
We found one prosecutor on the street. He told us he would accept our requests on the hood of the car. This is the pits. I've been on my feet all day, exhausting my soul as I'm going through this circle of hell, endlessly going from one office to another. What did he say? Look, they're running away from us. No one wants to see or listen to us. It's just a mockery of mothers. What kind of people are working here? Vladimir Putin, why do you have such a mess in all your agencies? From the women in their winter coats to the town of Sokol in northwest Russia, the streets are laid out in a grid with snow and bare trees between the repetitive right angles of housing estates and blocks of flats.
Lubov's 20-year-old son, Daniil, is also a conscript missing in Ukraine. The last news she received was sent to her by Ukrainian soldiers holding Daniil captive. They won't reveal his location.
He came to kill Ukrainians in the city of Kharkiv. I would never believe that, never.
They send these messages to undermine Russian support for the war.
What would you like to say to your mum? I want to ask her to get me out of here. My little one, we will get you out, don't worry. Then she should go out. Tell Putin to stop the war. Yes, this also, of course.
Dozens of prisoners from both sides have been returned home. But to get Daniil back, Lubov must get the Russian army to put his name on an official list of prisoners to exchange. She's repeatedly contacted Russia's army to get him on the list, but nothing has happened.
Where are these lists on the Ministry of Defense website?
Their family lawyer, Anna, is helping.
I have a number for the hotline of the Ministry of Defense. They don't pick up the phone. They hang up on all the calls. This is the Russian Defense Ministry. Hello. Please tell us, we would like to know information about our request from March the 20th. We have a conscript in captivity, Vorobyov Daniil Sergeyevich. Tell me, how can we find out if Daniil has been included in the list of prisoners of war? Where do we find this out? I'm not ready to answer you right now. Okay, please write down the information again. Please note, this is a repeat request, and no one made contact at the first request. Thanks. Goodbye. No one is responsible for anything, and no one knows anything.
Like Irina's son Kirill, Daniil had also just started compulsory military service. This means he also should not have been sent to Ukraine, because he hadn't been in the army long enough.
How is it possible for boys who were conscripts, who simply went just to serve for a year, and suddenly find themselves in the combat zone? And when the Ministry of Defense did admit the information that there are conscripts, that those who survived were withdrawn, When they admitted there are prisoners of war, this was a small victory, because they recognized the fact that our boys are there. And this has become some kind of guarantee that other conscripts would not be sent there anymore. You wake up thinking about your son. You go to bed thinking about your son. It's the same thing day and night. I don't think about anything else. We'll sit and wait. Write, call, wait, pray. Putin, in March 2022. I'd like to address the mothers, wives, sisters, fiancés, and girlfriends of our soldiers and officers who are now in combat and protecting Russia in the special military operation. I understand that you care for your nearest and dearest. You can be proud of them, just as the whole country is proud of them and cares about them alongside you. Let me stress, soldiers undergoing compulsory military service are not taking part and will not take part in combat. Neither will there be any additional call-up of reservists. Only professional soldiers are performing the assigned tasks. A small village in a mountain valley, Dagestan, southwest Russia.
Large numbers of Russia's professional soldiers come from poor rural areas, like here in predominantly Muslim Dagestan. Many sign up as a way out of poverty. One of those soldiers was 20-year-old Mehmood, who joined up months before the invasion.
Mourners at a graveside. A woman holds up a mobile phone. This is the last photo of him. He wanted to have a military ID so there would be no barriers later. Without a military ID, it can be difficult for a man to find a job and so on. He said he would earn money to build a house for us, to buy a plot of land, and give money to his mother. I think that they were taken there fraudulently. Who could have thought? Not Mehmood nor anyone. He didn't know. No one knew they could meet their death there. A woman sits wiping tears from her eyes. Now a crowd of mostly middle-aged men waiting to board a coach.
7 months after the full-scale invasion started, Russia's death toll is mounting. Putin orders a mobilization of 300,000 civilian reservists to fight in Ukraine. The mobilization sparked protests in many cities across Russia, including in Dagestan.
You should. It's my duty. If needed, I will go. I would. My grandfather fought for my homeland. It was a real war back then. Now it's politics. People were against mobilization, yes. There was a protest in September. I was there, but I did not participate. We said no to war. We don't want war. Then policemen started beating, and we saw them beating women. There was a girl covered in blood. They beat the guys there. Shots fired into the air. I don't want war. I don't want my son to be sent away. I am Yakubova Nazilia, and I was born in Dagestan. My brother has now gone missing in Ukraine. On a photo, this is my brother, Felix.
Felix was a policeman who was jailed for 19 years after shooting dead three men. Nazilia says Felix acted in self-defense when the men tried to take his service weapon. He was then recruited to the army in prison.
Last year, we heard they wanted to recruit convicts and send them to war. They're not calling it a war. They call it a special operation.
This is Yevgeny Prigozhin, co-founder of the Wagner Group. They are Russian mercenaries accused of human rights abuses as they carry out military operations for Moscow in Syria, several African countries, and now Ukraine.
We only need those who are convinced they want to fight, those who like going to war.
Late in 2022, Prigozhin led efforts to recruit Russian prisoners to fight in Ukraine.
He was told, all of them were told, if you go to war, we'll pay you 250,000, that's £2,200, every month. Second, you'll be there for 6 months, and if you stay alive, you'll be free to go, and we'll remove your criminal record. Those who get there and say, I've ended up somewhere I shouldn't have, we designate as a deserter. And after this comes execution by firing squad. You have 5 minutes to make your decision. Once we leave, the time is up. He told me, I don't have any other way to get my criminal record removed. I have no choice. I've been signed up.
3 months after he entered Ukraine, Nazilia stopped hearing from Felix.
This is his last photo.
And now she's just received a troubling message from a soldier in her brother's unit. He says they lack supplies and are threatened if they don't fight.
I appeal to the media and anyone who can help us. Our group is called Storm Z, but no one knows who's in charge. People are slaughtered here like cannon fodder. There are very few of us. Out of a group of 65, 23 are left here. If we refuse to go and die, they threaten to shoot us dead. Our countrymen stick machine guns to our backs. We do not have equipment for defense or offense. We have no supplies. We are waiting for any help from you. We won't last long here. Something must be done. She turns off the phone. The photo of Felix with the family. Washing hanging in an alley. Then she's kneeling on a prayer mat.
But like Irina and hundreds of other Russian women, she says she gets little official help.
I called the defense ministry again. They told me to go to the military registration and enlistment office. So I went to the office yesterday. They say they can't do anything and I should go to the human rights office. So now I'm going to go there and the prosecutor's office. What are we going to be told today? She gets into a taxi. I'm going to find the truth anyway. And that's it. I'm doing everything possible and impossible because I loved him the most, my favorite brother. Hopefully, inshallah, I'm going to find him. Billboards read, I believe Putin. I am proud of the country. For peace for Russia for president. And support and trust for the president of the country. We're now going to the human rights office. Inside a municipal building, a poster features the flags of various Russian republics. She tries a door, then says, it's closed. And where is everyone? She pokes her head through a door along the corridor. Then elsewhere, a woman comes out of an office. But here too, the human rights office. It's here. Depends on which one you need.
Nazilia lodges a request with the Human Rights Office and is told to wait.
Frankly speaking, I don't have the strength anymore, and there are no tears left. She leaves, walking past yet another billboard featuring the letter Z. Russian Ministry of Defense. Good afternoon. I've been calling you for 3 months now. I'm from Dagestan, Yakubova Nazilia. I'm calling about my brother, Yakubov Felix, who was taken to war, and it's still unknown where he is. We will check this information and call you back. They'll call later and say, yes, he's missing, just wait. They just ping-pong you here and there. Someone else's grief, someone else's pain. No one is interested in this. Hunting Russia's lost boys. Dispatches. Hunting Russia's lost boys. Dispatches. Christmas and New Year 2023 decorations in Novgorod, northwest Russia. Some people are gathered around a sculpture with a burning flame. Do you know why people throw a coin? So that there will be no war? Children in bright winter gear smile as more coins are thrown in. A woman at a family home surrounded by snow. My name is Starikova Esmira. My husband and I have lived together for the past 16 years. We have 3 children together, a 14-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 1-year, 9-month-old. A kitten ducks out of the way of the younger children as they play. On the 24th of February, everyone found out that the war had begun, and since we are Russian citizens, he could not stay on the sidelines. He decided to volunteer through the Russian Special Forces University. Of course, I didn't want to let him go. That is, we have children. But he said, I'm a man, I can't sit back at home. And he went.
After the invasion, at one point, Russia controlled 20% of Ukraine. Millions of Ukrainians fled their homes as refugees. But by early September, sections of the Russian army are in a chaotic retreat.
Mobile footage from the combat zone, then Esmira looking at her phone. The first time he came back from the front line, he told me to turn off the TV and never turn it on again. He said, what's being shown on TV and what's happening are 2 completely different things. Don't trust anyone or anything. I am Galina Alexandrovna Bogdanova. My son is Starikov Alexei. I didn't even know that he'd left. I only found out when he was already in Ukraine. I'm far from politics. I just don't want people to die. No one, anywhere at all. If there is a God, how come we have so many casualties from both sides? Why can people not find common ground? That's why I'm saying, Lord, where are you then?
Later that month, Esmira is called by a soldier fighting with her husband, who tells her Alexei has been killed. Russia's defense ministry later tells her that they also think he's dead.
But then when we started looking into it, it turned out that no bodies had been recovered, and there's no definite information that he is dead.
Esmira starts to investigate and finds pictures on social media of a man she believes is Alexei, alive and in Ukrainian captivity. She manages to get in contact with the Ukrainian soldiers who had posted some of the pictures.
When we found the second photo, I tried to get in touch with them, and it worked. And the Ukrainian soldier said he has severe concussion and he probably just doesn't remember anything about himself. She gives one of her little girls a bottle.
To get Alexei returned, she must get the Russian army to put him on a list of prisoners. But because the army says he's dead, they refuse.
Klava, please go play. I have to make a phone call. Go see where Klava went.
Izmira calls the administration in Russian-occupied Ukraine, the area where he was last seen.
Hello, I left a request here to add my husband to the list of prisoners of war, which you redirected to Moscow. Well, the Ministry of Defense says he's dead. Look, on our part, we sent a request about him. They must take action. Take measures to find him, you know? I understand. Thank you so much. Good day. Well, this is how it is. A photo of Alexei holding two fingers up in a peace sign. Then Izmira and her two girls. Now the family are gathered round a Christmas tree, where the kitten is playing. That's it, beautiful. Klava, we must make a wish about our dad coming back home to us for New Year's Eve. We don't need gifts. We only need dad to get back home fast. From the family home surrounded by snow, to a military parade in a grand square in Volgograd, formerly Stalingrad. Crowds watch as a tank rumbles past, flying a red hammer and sickle flag. People are posing as historical statues, and a group of performers in period costumes sing. Spring 1945, how the Blue Danube was waiting for you. Freedom for the peoples of Europe, brought in a hot, sunny May.
Every year, Russia marks its role in the defeat of Nazi Germany with Victory Day. It's this history that President Putin exploits when trying to justify the invasion of Ukraine. In February 2022, he ordered the invasion, saying he wanted to oust Nazis and bring Ukraine back under Russian control.
Vienna remembers, the Alps remember, the Danube remembers. Many years have passed, but unfortunately, history is repeating itself in many ways. Today, trains are again taking our military equipment and our guys, fighters and commanders, to fight against neo-Nazism in Ukraine, which has been revived by Europe and America to fight against Bandera. And of course, we wish them victory.
Many Russians believe this propaganda and think Ukraine is run by Nazis.
Because we defeated fascism, then we defeated evil. That is why the victory over fascism and evil is very important for Russia. The most important thing is to stop fascism, stop Nazism, which is now in general flourishing in Kyiv. We should go till we win, until victory. By annexing lands which we've annexed, we will become geographically larger, and we will become, let's say, we'll have more Russian people. Our greatness will always be undeniable, everywhere and any time. This is our country. Among those watching one of the performances is a young boy in a period army costume, his chest covered in medals. From children posing with the human statues to more letter Z banners, militaristic posters and anti-war graffiti.
Saying anything that can be regarded as discrediting Russia's army or the invasion can lead to fines or even jail. Some of the mothers Irina is working with are running into trouble with the authorities. She uses social media to get the message out.
Today, an hour ago, some other mothers were going to Moscow to complain about the inaction of authorities, officials, and military departments. They were detained under the pretext that they were carrying drugs. These are mothers, ordinary mothers, who go to complain to the president. I have no words. Grand buildings in Moscow illuminated at night, in a hotel room.
Irina travels to Moscow to meet a lawyer to see if she has a case that can be taken to court.
Hello, my darling. I haven't seen you for so long.
Irina has found documents she believes proves her son should not have been sent to Ukraine in the first place.
He joined the army on October the 26th. So on December the 5th, he takes the oath. And when was the contract signed? They forged the dates. I can see it's all runaround replies. For example, Irina makes a joint appeal. They simply send her from one department to another, from one official to another official. Right now, I think the most important thing is to give all of this legal form.
The lawyer says she will lodge a complaint with the government.
They falsified these contracts. They falsified these orders to match the date of the special military operation. If a man is drafted, he must serve 3 months, and only then can he sign a contract. This is the law, and if he does sign a contract in 3 months, only another 3 months later can he become a contract soldier, so 6 months in total. My son was in the army for 2 months, and he already has a contract and is in combat. How is that? There are people responsible for those documents. They're still in the Ministry of Defense. And how many sons, conscripts, have suffered because of them? Only God knows.
For now, all Irina has are pictures of Kirill from their last phone call.
These are the screenshots I made when he called me. This is March 22nd. He's sitting in a basement. He was in that house, my son. He didn't have a helmet, a bulletproof vest, nothing. They were unarmed. A lot of people died there. Some from his unit were captured. It was on April the 11th, I got a call from the Defense Ministry. Your son Kirill Chistikov was captured on Ukrainian territory.
Irina says it took weeks for the Russian military to put Kirill on a list of prisoners to exchange. But it's now been months since Kirill's last phone call, and she still has no information about his whereabouts.
I'm still waiting for him to return alive, but I can't. I've got to find him, among the living, or among the dead if he's dead.
Irina and the mothers spend painful hours searching social media.
Here's how we look for them. A dead body is found and you start looking at the ears, the nose. We make screen captures, save them, and then stop the frames, take screenshots, and zoom in. Well, I managed to find about 30 people like this. We send it to the group chat. I have to give credit to the Ukrainians. They take pictures, film videos, and post them. Otherwise, it would be hard for us to find anyone.
And they've started a grim catalogue of the missing and the dead.
I often look through this album, which boys have died, whom we have already buried. Who were the new ones? Who we haven't been able to find yet? Irina turns pages in the album, then looks at her son's picture on her phone. She kisses the screen. My boy, Lord, save and protect. Hunting Russia's lost boys. Dispatches. Hunting Russia's lost boys. Dispatches. A woman's showing a group of teenagers around a snowy park with a monument in it. This is Grand Prince Sviatoslav of Kyiv, the son of Olga and Igor, the father of Vladimir the Baptist, who spent his whole life on military campaigns. He's the first in our topic of war heroes. Esmira's house in Novgorod.
It's months since Alexei went missing in Ukraine. His wife Esmira believes he is alive and in captivity, but she's just received some news from the Russian military.
I got a call saying that we found the body. Where should we send it? I said, wait, how could you have found the body when I can see my husband has been captured? He says, no, it's your body. Where should we send it? Let's make a document saying it's your husband. And then my son went to identify the body.
Alexei's son is a nurse. He says the body was badly decomposed.
When I saw this body, I said immediately the corpse wasn't my father, because you know a corpse can't grow new teeth. My father had very few teeth. He had a scar on the lower third of his right shin, and that scar just wasn't there.
Esmira tells the authorities that it's not her husband's body. But the Russian Defense Ministry says she must accept it is, or find proof that he's alive.
It felt like they were really annoyed with me, especially when I said the body wasn't ours. They said, you need to take it. Don't you need the money? You will receive compensation. You have children. You need to live somehow. Did they actually try to pay you something? No, nothing. They brought the body to Novgorod, and we had no choice but to bury it. As soon as we buried the body, that's it. Total silence.
Even though they don't believe the buried body is Alexei, his mother and Esmira visit the grave to pay their respects. Because the official paperwork says it is Alexei, by law, they've had to put his name on the cross.
Good afternoon, warrior. We have come to honor your memory, and we promise to find your relatives. They're looking for you, just like we are looking for our Alexei. And there is hope that we'll bring him home, we'll bring our son home, and this will be resolved somehow. The war won't last forever, and people will understand that peace is better than war. From the cemetery to banners featuring the letter Z, reading, for victory, for peace, for Russia, for ours.
In Dagestan, Nazilia's just received some news about her missing brother, Felix.
Good evening, Irina. I received a voice message. It was a guy who said he was near Avdiivka. He recognized him and said it was your brother. Your brother was lying. They were driving this, what is it called? A tank. Yes, APC. And my brother seemed to get out and was lying down. He says, I picked him up and he was dead. His back was torn and his face was still intact. Can you imagine? Their bodies are still there. The Ministry of Defense isn't saying there's no body there. They said we cannot risk lives to get the bodies. We will do what we can. Good day, thanks. Let them give us my brother's body. We don't need anything else. We don't know what to do, where to go.
Several weeks later, Felix's body is sent to the military morgue in Rostov. His cousin is asked to identify him.
A driver says, okay, we're here. Goodbye. Later, Felix's cousin makes a phone call.
Hello, Nazila.
Hello, Nazilia. Well, I've already got home. I've done all the identifications. They showed me documents and phone numbers and said it was exactly his. I went in. How bad was it? Nazilia, you'd better not ask. Tell me, seriously. That means I didn't see him. But after I saw people like him being unloaded from the car there, I'm like... I'd rather not talk about it. Calm down. I've also been crying for 3 months, but at least I found him. That's how destiny meant it. Calm down, calm down. Okay, bye. He puts the phone down. He takes a sip from a teacup, lights a cigarette and goes to stand at an open window. It's hard to understand this stuff. These black bags. These pieces of bodies. These bags were unloaded like this from a car. Someone grabbed the bag behind him and pulls this bag with a human body in an unnatural state, like I was passing through the gates of hell. Well, I guess there are a lot of them. Yes, of course, a lot. It's not clear whether to consider them heroes or non-heroes.
After leading a rebellion in Russia, on August 23rd, 2023, Wagner mercenary group leader Prigozhin reportedly died in a mysterious plane crash, but not before sending thousands of prisoners to fight and die in Ukraine.
Riding in a car in Krasnodar, southwest Russia. Should I hide the camera away so it's less visible? Yes, make it less visible so that they don't see the camera. If they see cameras, they will immediately report it and prohibit shooting.
The Kremlin says only around 6,000 Russian soldiers have been killed in Ukraine. UK and US estimates put the figure at more than 50,000 Russian dead. Vitaly, a former Russian Air Force officer, also believes the death toll is much higher than Russia admits.
We find 45% more graves than there are in official obituary publications. Nobody knows the real numbers, no one at all. This is a state secret.
Motivated by trying to expose the truth, Vitaly took it on himself to visit graveyards to record the actual number of dead soldiers.
There is the first grave of a soldier who was brought here from the special operation. It has increased very sharply since November. There's a dramatic jump in the death toll. It's just a very big jump. Either this is due to mobilization, that is, untrained personnel going to war, or most likely due to the fact that more serious weapons arrived in Ukraine.
He posts the details of the dead soldiers on his website.
Many write to us saying, "Thanks, you found our relative. There was no information anywhere. The Ministry of Defense does not give information. We don't know if he went missing or somewhere else." They see in our publication, there is a photo, there is a grave, there he is. Back in the car. How much longer do you think you're going to keep doing this? Until they put us in jail. It is dangerous to be a thinking person in our country, and it's very dangerous to go against the system. We're going to a cemetery for Wagner mercenaries. Mostly convicts, no one cares about them. We discovered the Wagner cemetery on December the 20th. There were 48 graves. By February 2nd, there were around 270. Last time we were there on February the 23rd, there were around 380. And you don't count those unnamed graves. Vitaly, I've prepared the boots for you. This time it is necessary. They're burying people en masse. They stop next to a road, and a passing lorry sends up clouds of spray. He changes into boots. You cannot see from here. There is a huge burial ground over there. Something terrible. And if you go further, you find yourself in a Wagner cemetery, the scale of which, to put it mildly, is appalling. Vitaly walks between rows and rows of graves in a featureless field of mud. Most are marked by Orthodox three-barred crosses, some with an Islamic star and crescent, and on each mound is a wreath in the yellow, black and red of the Wagner Group insignia. In his boots, he treads through the heavy mud and uses a phone to take photos of the nameplates on the grave markers. Russian patriots are outraged at what I do. Besides their outrage, they threaten to kill me. But many people support and say this is the right thing to do. Otherwise, all this will be forgotten. Hunting Russia's lost boys. Dispatches. Hunting Russia's lost boys. Dispatches. Irina boards a train.
With still no news on Kirill, Irina decides to travel to the main military mortuary in Rostov.
I have this difficult journey ahead. I believe my son is alive, but I am still taking his things for a DNA test in Rostov.
Irina is joined by Maxim, who's going to identify the body of his brother, who is in Kirill's unit.
It's hard to talk about this. Yes, it's very difficult. Very. Time has passed, but still you need to go and see for yourself to finalize the case. So I decided to go to finalize the case, to make sure to get some peace. Right now, my head's a mess.
уже почти всего взвода нет.
Almost the entire platoon is gone. So you start thinking. A small dog is perched on one of the train's bunks. Then someone with bare legs climbs up to their bed. A cleaner wrings out a mop. Morning mist around ornate onion domes in Rostov, southwest Russia. Maxim and Irina walk up a wet, muddy, single-lane road. We're now going to the military mortuary. Since the Chechen War, all the dead soldiers have been taken there. And that's why I'm taking Kirill's things, to get a DNA test. Here's the bag with his things. I'm all jittery on the inside. It's scary. I'm just scared. The track gets muddier. She walks some way behind Maxim, carrying the small holdall. I don't want to find my son there, honestly. But I'm ready for anything. I'm really ready for anything. They pass through a small gate and approach some buildings. I'll also look at the other boys who are there now. They need to be found, and every mother must get her son back. A sign depicting an artillery gun crew reads, Rostov Military Morgue. Irina crosses herself, and they go inside.
Five hours later, Irina and Maxim return from the morgue.
Maxim unlocks their hotel room door and they go in.
The morgue accepted Kirill's clothes for testing.
If only one bastard in uniform could walk in my shoes. When I go to the morgue, I keep it together. I'm tough as nails. But when I return, I just can't. How do I find my boy? I don't understand anymore. Across the river from the huge football stadium, a recruitment stall has been set up. Russians are coming. Foreigners do not understand us. You cannot explain to them. Our homeland is here. How to love Russia. We do not need to be judged. All of us waiting for God's judgment. Part the heavens. Russians are coming.
Next day, Irina returns to the morgue to see if her son's DNA matches any of the dead bodies.
God be with us. Bless me, O Lord. People are going there from all over Russia. To the driver, thank you so much. All the best. Good luck finding your son. God willing, he's alive. Goodbye. Thank you so much. She gets out. On the way home, they pass a train carrying tanks.
Irina gets the results.
Well, we've come to a conclusion with the investigator. that my son is not among the dead. Thank God. That my son is alive. That we should insist Ukraine have mercy and return my Kirill to me. It's been 12 months since my life was taken away from me. My life is roads, flights, morgues, and hospitals. That's the life they caused. These men in uniform and large epaulettes. Back at home, Irina's doing the washing up, while her daughter's painting something. Of course, we'll have a cooking show. I'm Larisa Guseva. This is the Let's Get Married show. I definitely don't need to go on this show. Let's Get Married, I never want to go there. When you were away, I watched it on TV on Channel 1.
While Irina's personal agony continues, her search keeps finding more missing sons.
How many have you found? Oh, I don't know. About 200 people. Yes, me personally. That's in a year and a half. I won't leave behind the dead, I'll continue to search for them. Now she's standing at the window, holding a stripy top. Her daughter comes over. You want to put it on? It'll be too big for you, but it's fashionable. It'll be like a dress on you. Whose shirt are you wearing? Kirill's. Roll up the sleeves. On the fridge are photos of her son in uniform. I dreamt about him. I just cursed at him in my sleep. I've been searching for you for a year already. A year, do you understand? I can't anymore. I just can't do it anymore. It's getting unbearable. And he stands looking at me. I say, are you even alive? I grab him and start shaking him. Are you alive? Tell me, are you alive? And he says, I'm alive, I'm alive. I say, maybe you don't realize you're dead. I'm wailing in my sleep, and he looks at me and just smiles. I'll be back. Just wait. Some hope has emerged from an unexpected source. Ukraine has now agreed to let Irina and some other mothers travel there to search for their missing sons. We put the allegations to the Russian Defense Ministry. They did not respond. After a few months in captivity, Daniil was sent back to Russia and reunited with his family. Nazilia was eventually able to bury her brother Felix. Russian authorities designated Vitaly a foreign agent. He has since left the country. After finding no further proof that Alexei is alive, Esmira now accepts that the body in the grave is probably that of her husband.